What drew you to the concept of looking at a day's work?
Well, I had written a book about, my last book was a book about coal mining, told through my family, or we're all coal miners and steel workers and stuff like that way back.
I remember because I remember this, there are still 12, at least when you wrote it, there are 12 coal miners left,
That's
something like
right,
that.
something
I
like that.
remember that
Yeah, that's
number,
right,
yes,
that's right,
yep,
that's
when we
right.
talked
Yeah,
about that, yeah.
which, and so they're vanishing, underground coal miners as opposed to strip miners. And so they're a vanishing breed. And doubly at that point, to Random House was, we had talked about another book. We were talking about a book about sort of disappearing work. And it sort of morphed into a book about, I guess the importance of work and work as as sort of social history and what can be learned from work. So from that, so it just sort of morphed into this book about work as a way to tell a story of Canada, disappearing work, and a sort of sepia tinted look back upon simpler times, I guess.
I'm not so old that I remember there were, I think, three dairies in my town, and I do remember one of them actually delivering to, because the neighbor took a different kind of milk than we did,
Yeah.
and a horse-drawn truck. It
Is
was the
that right?
last horse,
Yeah.
last truck, still delivering milk
Yeah.
with a car. I mean, delivering milk alone.
Yes.
And I'm shocked to discover there's still a guy
There is.
delivering milk
That's
somewhere in Canada
well,
who hasn't
that's
got the memo or.
right.
Or has he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, his father did it. His father delivered milk to my family with a milk cart, Bill Bennett in Halifax, and Bill does it to this day. Yeah, he didn't get the memo. He didn't hear that you're not supposed to do that kind of thing anymore. You're not supposed to do it in a in that personal fashion. But I guess he's following in that tradition. It's what he knows. People still need milk. I think he takes some pride and some pleasure in, because it's a hard job. He takes some pride and some pleasure in getting the milk out to people. Yeah, it's very unusual. I mean, in most cases, a lot of people I talk about in the book are people that have been doing it for generations and continue to do it. In some cases, because they don't know anything else, but in some cases, because they see value in what they're doing, I think.
Which of the people did you feel the most attachment to?
That's a good question. I felt some of the work was somewhat similar to things I've done, so it was not too alien. So, for example, the traveling salesman, I've sold stuff in previous jobs, and through being a reporter and just writing for magazines or papers, you spend a lot of time getting in a car, going around and talking to strangers, just walking up to strangers and trying to get them to talk to you, which is not unlike
Selling your book?
selling a book or selling, whatever, selling some toilet paper or whatever it is. So I felt I knew that somewhat, and I mean, I like music, so I felt an affinity for that. I think the ones I enjoyed the most, the ones I found most engaged by, were the ones that were the furthest removed from my experience. So I really enjoyed Pierre Bedard, the blacksmith, spending some time with him, just because it was so different. And so that really seemed to be one of the jobs that was really, that had the longest legs, that went back the furthest into history and time. And I really enjoyed Mars Vino, the rancher, the cattle rancher, just because that was so cool, just being out there in this just huge vistas. And I mean, her, but I could never do that. She gets up in the morning, gets on a horse, and goes and by herself rides around all day, mends fences, does whatever needs to be done. The hours are long, it's physically hard. I can't ride a horse. The ADD would kick in. But I felt genuinely engaged with those. I mean, my work, my experience would be closest to Steve Forbes, the salesman, and of course the newspaper guy, Paul McNeil in PEI. But I mean, it was an incredible experience, all of them, really.
Now, if someone held a gun to your head and said, John, you have to pick one of these jobs or I will squeeze the trigger. You have to give up writing and become, so you would become a...
Well, maybe I might have the vinyl store. I might sell music. That'd be pretty cool. Some of them I just know I can tell you the ones I couldn't do, for sure. I mean, Bill Bennett, the milkman, it's just too physically hard. I mean, it's too hard. The hours are too long. Marge Vino, I mean, long hours, not good for guys with ADD. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them that are, their work that is, and I guess that's its attraction in many ways, or perhaps most of all, is that it's work that's hard to do. So mastering it would make you feel great about it, because you know you're engaged, because you know this is not a simple thing, and if I can do it, and do it well, as well as in the case of many of these occupations that I looked at, as well as the forebears, perhaps my father, my grandfather, well, that's a great thing, and that would get you up in the morning, I think.
The book is A Good Day's Work in Search of a Disappearing Canada. I've been speaking with the author, John DeMont, and A Good Day's Work, published by Doubleday Canada.